if you have your Bibles available. And just again, we started at the first verse, and I wanted to give you some a visual background. When I taught this lesson, I guess it was 10 years ago, I had prepared some videos that went along with the lesson. So I want to give you a little bit of that to get started. So we've got the history of the first chapter, and we're going to get into the second chapter here this morning. But I wanted to give you the visual background of it. So that first verse tells the whole story of how Israel ends up in Babylon. So in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So I'll give you a little visual background so we get the flavor and the history of our studies here.
The year is 586 BC. The armies of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, descend on Jerusalem with the wrath of an angry God. It is almost six centuries before the birth of Christ. The Romans have not even dreamed of empire. It is a dark chapter in the history of the Jews, while Babylon's fierce star is rising. The Davidic covenant between God and his people is at a breaking point.
You worship foreign idols. You defile your God. These are God's words. Submit to King Nebuchadnezzar. Bow your head. You dare tell your king to bow. Now, how dare you question a prophet of God? It's you who offends. It's you who must change.
God's prophets were mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. Jerusalem is under threat. Their feckless king, Zedekiah, has made the once mighty kingdom a mere vassal state to the whims of Babylon. He conspires with the king of Egypt and breaks his alliance with Nebuchadnezzar, and thus brings the full fury of Babylon upon the holy city. The city is plundered. Is taken captive. It is compelled to watch the murder of his sons, the last scene his eyes would ever witness.
The last thing you'll ever see. Rick.
A thousand Israelite captives, princes, soldiers, artisans, and scribes are exiled to Babylon in chains. They crossed over 500 miles of desert to the pagan stronghold of Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, yea, we wept when we were in Mount Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?
Thank you.
Broken and exhausted, the Israelites entered Babylon in awe of its scope and frenzy. Torn from the modest city of Jerusalem, they beheld the majestic capital of the ancient world. This city exuded its heathen devotion at every turn through its broad boulevards. Through the Ishtar gates embossed with the image of the serpent god, the temple of Marduk, where thousands of servile priests made sacrifice to gods of stone. The Hanging Gardens, a luxuriant tribute to the goddess Queen Semiramis. And the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, considered by his subjects as a living deity. It is to here, then, that the providential hand of God will chastise his people for 70 years. But he will not leave his people without a witness. In his wrath, he remembers mercy and raises up a voice in the midst of captivity. Daniel and his three compatriots resolve to retain their separation to the God they love.
O Lord, Jerusalem has sinned greatly. Like a widow is she, once great among the nations, a queen among the people, has become a slave, and her children captive before the foe. My eyes overflow with tears. For you, Lord, are righteous, and we rebelled against your command. Comfort me, O Lord, comfort me and my brothers, and restore our spirit.
So this gives us some pictorial background as to how all of this began to evolve in the or devolve for the Jews as they experienced the chastisement of the Almighty. So where we left off last week in the first chapter, we concluded the Daniel and the three are carried away as eunuchs in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. And they are provided, as you see here in the fifth verse, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of wine, which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So all of this was about being a part of the Babylonian culture, and they were being matriculated into the very palace itself, so that they the idea here was to make them conform to Babylonian law. They refused to do this, and we see this Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, so he would keep the dietary laws, nor would the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So they take their stand early on here, and they're given favor. So what we learned in the lessons that I think are very valuable is that even in the midst of pagan idolatry, we have young men standing up for their convictions. And I think this is, for all of us, the lesson that we can apply is, you know, we're all living in a pagan society, America. We're in post-Christian America. I think that's a fair statement. Those that surround us are trying to make us conform to their pagan ways, and we are called to be separated. And so we can see how complete the this inculcation was. The Babylonians gave them pagan names, taught them in their pagan schools, forced them to speak a pagan language. That's what. That's why we're going to find a portion of Daniel here written in Chaldean. They lived in pagan palaces. Yet through all of this, they keep their faith and they obey the laws of the Lord. So we can use this exemplary passage in the scripture so that all of us experiencing similar temptations to conform to a world that we really have nothing to do with. We're pilgrims. We're ambassadors. We're coming from a strange land to testify of a better kingdom. And that's exactly where the children of Israel are now, as they are held captive. For those many years that God put up with their idolatry and would call them to repentance and even gave them revivalist kings, they continue to go back to these ways that they learned from their neighbors. They were influenced by it. So God, in a just and condign judgment, says, if this is how you want to live, then I'll put you in the midst of it. Take all the world you want now. You're in pagan Babylon. And this would sober the minds of the Jewish people, and there would be a spirit of repentance, and they would ultimately triumph and be led back into the promised land 70 years after their captivity. Which leads us now right into that second chapter of Daniel, and a very interesting portion here. So in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Let me take you to another portion of my video on this so that we can, again, get kind of the flavor and the background and the drama of what's happening here.
I'm going to go to the next one.